she weeps.
I don't know why nobody told you how to unfold your love. I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning. While my guitar gently weeps, every mistake we must surely.
Hey everybody, Thursday night and Thursday night and a terrible buzz. Let's see if that's, yep, that's the power. Huh, I don't think that happened last week. I wonder if I was plugged into a different outlet. Anyway, so we're trying something a little different tonight. I'm your host, Jake. I'm by myself broadcasting tonight rather than trying to do the thing that we did last time with the terrible audio quality. We were actually doing an experiment where we were seeing how much auditory torture our listeners could stand before they gave up on us completely. It turns out not very much. But what I did was I recorded a Skype conversation with Riff and Hot Stuff earlier. We didn't do it in nearly enough time to do an entire show. So I want to say there's like 45 minutes or 55 minutes of stuff. So I'm gonna just play that recording. And then the second half of the show, after the music break, I will pop on and answer some questions or whatever. Maybe try and see if there were any questions that came in during the first half of the show that I can then answer in a timely fashion. Next week, we're going to try and do a better job of actually... you'll hear us talking about this. You know, what I realize, though, is the more time I kill now before I start this recording, the less time I'm actually going to have to spend talking about stuff after the recording ends. So, yeah. I wish I could think of something interesting to talk about, but I can't. So, yeah, let me find this MP3. This is 27.5 megabytes. And I'm going to play this, and... Oh, it looks like it's an hour long. So I will see you guys in an hour. And then play some music, and then come back from the music, and talk to some dudes about some video games. Yeah, I think I started recording in the middle of the sentence. Are you recording now? I wonder if you were to look at every audio recording that has ever been made throughout human history, what percentage of them start with somebody saying, "Are you recording now?"
What does that little red dot mean?
I've heard a number of them. So basically we're trying an experiment this time. We're Skyped up, and we're recording a Skype conversation so that I can, instead of doing the show live with these guys, I can do the show by myself so we don't have to deal with the fucked up audio quality of some shit taped to some other shit.
The other option that we could do is figure out how you can broadcast Skype. There's got to be some way to do it.
You say that and just...
Get a $100 laptop that can run Skype.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about getting like a $1,000 laptop that can run video games. That's something that I've been considering getting to have with me here.
Your current one can't play video games?
No, it doesn't. I didn't really. It's pretty old, and I didn't get it with any kind of 3D accelerator at all. It'll run World of Warcraft, but I didn't bring the. I didn't install the third expansion on it. I didn't install the third expansion because I don't live in the future. But I didn't install the second expansion before I left because I was like, I'm not going to want to play World of Warcraft. But I'm sitting here thinking, man, I'd like to play some World of Warcraft.
You don't like playing it on a laptop in general anyway, right?
No, but I did I used to play it on a laptop. I remember at some point doing a lot of fishing on a laptop when I was at Fuzzle Faggot Ridge. I remember sitting in that room fishing. Yeah.
Wait, when you were just visiting me by...
No, my wife was there, too. I think it might have been that for, like, this... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There was a time when we came there in the winter, and it was really cold, and we went to... My wife and I went to New York. So, yeah, you, the listeners, can't see us, but we're using these miracle webcam devices, and we can actually see each other as we're doing this recording, so that's pretty cool. So, basically, our plan is to read through the Radio Bugbear questions... Have a conversation as though we were doing the radio show, and then I'm just going to play it for part of the radio show, and then do the remaining parts of it myself. Fucked around, and we have 45 minutes to record a two-hour show, so I don't think that's going to work.
Actually, you know, you could play it back much slower.
That's true. Yeah, or yeah. I could see if I could broadcast the first half while we're recording the second half. That wouldn't get confusing at all.
That would be cool if that worked.
I don't think that it would work, though. I think that this laptop is probably not capable of separating the audio streams out enough that would actually be able to happen. So,
although broadcasting, how would that work? We would be, if we could broadcast two-hour segments on top of each other, do you think people could listen to it twice and understand the two different streams?
I don't know. That'd be hard. I mean if we were doing a podcast exclusively for, like, mystery hunt people, then they'd probably be able to extract that somehow. We could do a left channel and a right channel. You know, like old set audiobooks used to work? Do one of them all the way in the left channel and one of them all the way in the right channel, so you got basically four-sided tapes.
Oh, weird.
I never heard of that. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I thought it was a clever innovation. anything exciting that you guys want to talk about while we have this golden opportunity to actually be conversing?
I can't think of anything interesting that's happened in the past couple of days at all. Yeah.
Hey, you been playing any Legends of Zork?
No. We found a new game called My Brute, which is even more simpler and yet
more simpler.
Ends up being more fun. Well, I mean, all it is...
So you mean more funner?
Yeah, more funner. It's one of those, like, scam people into clicking your link games, but you've got a character that you get a certain number of arena fights per day, and you click somebody else to fight, and you watch the little Street Fighter-esque combat that you don't actually have any control over, and the getting other people to click your links thing is when somebody else clicks your link and starts a character, that character is a pupil of your character, and so you get extra XP every time they level up. And so there's really nothing to it other than watching your guy fight three arena fights every day with no actual choices or anything. But it's still, I don't know, it's, the art is nice and it's kind of exciting to watch.
I looked, so, I saw that link too from some blog that I read today, and I went there and I didn't actually sign up for an account because it's one of those things where you're basically trying to trick people into clicking on your link.
Right.
I'll sign up. If your character is just a giant floating eye, do you get an extra bonus from recruiting new pupils?
I mean, what is the benefit to the company that's running these click on my link games?
Well, this particular one doesn't seem to have any sort of
ads.
It has ads for their other games, and that seems to be the only purpose of it.
Oh,
because there's no way to like buy extra fights.
They don't have a microtransaction structure in place. Yeah, I mean, I wonder how many things like this we're seeing that are just going to be a loss leader for other projects. I mean, because we've talked about doing the same thing, just putting out an iPhone game that's like free, but like, hey, come play KOL.
I had a thought. How hard do you think it would be to make an iPhone version of KOL?
Meaning, like an interface.
Yeah, for? Like so. You have your iPhone screen. There'd be four tabs on the bottom, like a lot of apps have, and one would be like character pane. One would be chat pane. One would be main pane, and then the other one would be like configurable to whatever sort of you're working on, like maybe your inventory or whatever, or would be a menu that would sort of go to a bunch of other stuff, and then you would use those tabs to sort of navigate around, and then it would just be the game. Because you can play the game in Safari on the iPhone right now, but this would just be a sort of a cleaner interface to the game from an iPhone.
I mean, the problem with that is that then we can't make any changes to the native interface of the game without breaking that interface. The thing is, I'm curious. You know, C.D. Moyer wrote that chat app,
right?
So I mean, he's clearly got. There is a case study in authentication and actually interacting with the KOL servers. That's fine.
Right.
You know, maybe if we were to do just a... I don't know. The problem is just going to be modifying the fight script is going to be rough.
Well, that's the thing. Is it really? Because, I mean, it scales, and all you have to do... I mean, the text could just scroll down and...
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, it's possible. There we could certainly set up like a little shortcut thing for performing common gameplay tasks or whatever. Right. And a lot of things wouldn't really need to be altered that much to be able to just display. Basically, just writing a custom front end web browser.
Right,
kind of.
That's exactly what it would.
So, you know, I wouldn't want to do it if it was going to. We've always been resistant to this kind of thing, like a mobile version, right? And I still don't know. You know, I'm honestly kind of curious, where are all of these iPhone apps going to be in 10 years?
Probably nowhere. You know, it'll be just almost all of them will be discarded.
So that's the thing. Like, how much work do we want to put into something that has sort of this built-in limits on its usefulness and usability?
But that's the thing. The most iPhone apps probably won't be sort of supported. You know, the ones that are really good and really successful will be. But this is not an iPhone app. It is just a gateway into an existing web app.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
if you could sign up for an account and play that way,
what I'm saying.
That could probably get us huge numbers of new users.
Exactly. That's a huge market to be tapped.
Yeah, because I feel like there are a ton of people who don't know about KOL that would play, especially if they could just play it on their phone. It, you know, as a coffee break game, which, you know, sometimes KOL is described as having it with you and being like, oh, I have 5 minutes to play some turns, I think would be very appealing to a lot of people. So many of the, like, multiplayer, multi-user games are so bad.
Yeah, no, that is a good point. And I'm curious, though. I mean, I don't know if... So there are tens of millions of people willing to play these shitty Mafia games. Would they... It is so obvious to me that KOL is better than those games, right? On every axis, right? There's just a lot more content. There's a lot more going on, and it's a similar kind of stuff. They don't have any sort of technological advantage on us. I mean, we could say that KOL is a better game than RuneScape, but that's totally arguable, right? Because, like, it certainly doesn't have better graphics than RuneScape.
Right.
We do have better graphics than these fucking Mafia games, because it's just a bunch of still images of some shit and buttons that you're not sure if they're buttons and whatever.
And the Mafia games are just, like, the thing is, all they are is making numbers bigger. Like, there might be a tiny little bit of strategy or whatever, but it is just making numbers bigger. So if that's really appealing to people, you know, we've actually kind of gotten away from that. KOL, I think, was more of that a couple of years ago, and now it's more of a real game. You know what I mean? Like, before it was like, you know, everybody was shoring to try to get their stats up as high as possible, right? Because, like, that was the only real sort of vector for gameplay once you'd sort of play through the content once. So, you know. And we potentially had more people playing back then, too, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that is more appealing. It's the same kind of thing, like, why are, you know, lowest common denominator TV shows so popular? Because they just appeal to so many people, whereas stuff that's really high quality has a smaller audience, even though it could be really sort of rabid.
So we're like the HBO of browser games.
Yes.
So I found this other over the course of reading through all of the Legends of Zork reviews that talked about us, because I've been searching every once in a while for Legends of Zork Kingdom of Loathing, just because I like seeing people describe KOL as being better than stuff. There were two stories on the Slashdot front page today, which was like, somebody from the EFF says that X is worse than Y. Like, so the EFF's job is just to sort of rank everything. And but anyway, I found out about another loathing like that seems to be a couple of months old called Metroplexity.
Yeah, Jenny played that a little bit. She said it was not bad, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. The interface is really, really crude. Like, it's laid out exactly like the KOL frame set. Like, pretty clear knockoff. But it's got this kind of weird sort of alternate reality / cyberpunk theme going on. So that's intriguing and new. And it also... looking at the wiki for it, I don't know if the wiki is maintained by the people who make it, because my player ID is like 100 and something, and so I really feel like 100 people is not enough to sustain a real serious wiki, but this has a pretty comprehensive wiki about everything, and there's a lot of stuff in it. Like, and it seems to be that it's kind of focused on, I'm not going to say exactly open world, but, like, there seem to be a lot of different ways to progress through quests in the game. Like, there are a tremendous amount of what goes on is in these choice adventures, and one of the... I'd read the dev blog or whatever, and one of the updates that he was talking about making was... And I've definitely seen this in action, what choices show up are sort of dependent on game state in various ways. So, like, you... not only, like, new encounters showing up, you know, like, you find, like, some gangsters beating up some bums or whatever, so you can help one or the other, and if you help the bums, later on you get this bum that can sell you some stuff. And, like, the thing that he did with these choices is that the individual options are context-sensitive, right? I guess I already said that. So.
Yeah.
But you can kind
of... change the state of the game.
Yeah, you can go through things in various ways. Like, you look at a zone, and it was like, this zone is unlocked by... and then there's a bunch of different ways that you can unlock the zones. Like, there aren't that many zones, but there's a lot going on in each of them. And, I don't know, I've been having fun with it.
That's cool.
Mr. Mag played and joined my clan.
It sounds like somebody who enjoyed KOL but wanted it to be more sort of expansive in a bunch of ways that KOL is not.
Also, the combat system is really interesting. That's something that I meant to talk about. Okay, so the way that it works, you don't have like an attack button or a runaway button or skill buttons. You have an inventory of things called techniques, which some of them are... I don't know the names of any of them because they just have like icons, but there's one that's just like a fist and everything's like punch, right?
Right.
Every technique has a number associated with it. Like every technique is like a card and it has a face value, right?
Okay.
You have a deck of these techniques that you can put as many of the techniques that you have, you can put as many as you want in the deck.
Which one is unstoppable?
I'm sorry?
Which one is unstoppable?
The flying monkey technique is unstoppable. So, like, what I don't exactly understand how this works, because you can have either a gun or, like, a melee weapon equipped, and mm-hmm. I don't know if, like, the ones that are melee attacks aren't as effective if you're using a gun, or the ones that are ranged attacks don't work if you don't have a gun, or what it is. But basically, the way a round of combat works, there is a lot more going on in an individual round of combat than there is in most RPGs. You can be fighting multiple opponents, which is one thing. I don't know if there are attacks that hit multiple opponents. What I've seen is just you sort of go through them in sequence, but they're all acting. When it's your turn to act, you get a hand of five techniques dealt to you.
Okay.
And what you do in a given round is you play a straight, right? Sometimes it's a straight of only one, but you can, like, the techniques have this face value, right? And so if you have a 3, a 4, a 5, and a 6 technique, then you can do all four of those in one round of combat. And it seems like the enemies are playing with a similar kind of thing. It's a little... You know, it's very gamey, right? Like, it's not easy to narratively justify, but you set it up, you set up your combo, and then you execute it, and during the first stage of the round of combat, you're doing whatever your first thing was, and then your opponent is doing whatever their first thing was. And I don't know if it's set up such that, like, defensive actions...
There can be, yeah.
There are defensive actions. There's, like, cower, you know, or, like, duck behind cover, or whatever. And if your duck behind cover happens at the same time as their shoot, it absorbs like 90% of the damage of this attack, right? So it's kind of interesting. And you it seems like there are a lot of cases. There's another bum that you can have him teach you how to fight, right? And he'll give you some
new cards.
Different melee combat cards, yeah, that then you can thread into your deck. Combat.
But so if you just use one action,
that too, which is cool. You find a stick of dynamite, and what that does is it gives you one dynamite card to throw into your deck. And if you can keep arming dynamite, so that then, all right, now I have 10 dynamites, so I'm going to get one every round or whatever. If you run out of cards, you can't do anything for the rest of the combat. So there's kind of this deck building aspect, right, where you want it small enough that you know what cards you're going to get, but not so large that you don't. Like, I feel like if you were back farming and you do, I don't know if it's possible to have a deck of only 5 cards, but if you were back farming and you knew that one round was going to be enough to kill any monster in a place, if you could just do a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, so you always get to do all 5 of the actions. If you get a long run, you have the advantage of the opponents usually aren't doing anything on the 3rd, 4th, and especially 5th of combat. it's pretty interesting. I was sad to note that there haven't been any updates posted in like a month.
Here's my question: is everything's value between 1 and 5 or no?
Everything's value is between 1 and 8 that I've seen, and I've never seen a 7.
Do they correspond to different rounds of combat? So do the ones always happen in the first and then the
no,
two?
No, they, you can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And there are some certain techniques. There's one that gives you an advantage and gets extra damage. It's the first technique that you use. And there are some that it's advantageous to use them last.
Right.
And like the stick of dynamite, you light it and you're not doing anything that round. But then after your last round, the dynamite goes off and deals the damage. So,
and the dynamite has the items cards also have a number.
Yeah, every card has a number on it. That's It's a really interesting... So the other interesting thing that's mechanically distinct from KOL is you can't auto-sell anything, it doesn't look like, but you put stuff into your clan stash, right? And it's not... You can't ever get anything out of it. The clan stash is basically like the way you auto-sell stuff. You put in, say, a gun, and it says you put in 5% of a shipment of arms, right? You have in your clan stash like four boxes that are like, this is the number of shipments of arms that you have, this is the number of shipments of curiosities you have, then there's like a drugs one, and then a miscellaneous goods, right? Where like food and stuff goes into. Apparently there's like a kind of fake economy where you can sell shipments of stuff, entire shipments of stuff, so like stacks of items for these credits that you can then use to buy accoutrements for your clan.
Huh.
And the only things that you can buy for the clan so far are like hideouts that it's a lot more location specific than KOL. Oh. If you are not at the place where your apartment is, resting is significantly less effective, right? So you can buy clan hideouts in every zone that presumably makes it like you have a house in that zone.
I see.
Anyways, that's not neat. It is neat. You know, I have not yet exhausted all the content, and I've played 4 or 5 days worth of turns, which is a good sign. I'm a little, you know, I have no idea how much attention is being paid to it, so I don't know how long it's going to keep me occupied, but it's, I don't know, it's pretty cool so far. Again, it's called Metroplexity, Metroplexity.
They'll probably get a giant increase in the number of...
Maybe they'll get 100 signups.
Well, if they're only up to 100, I feel like... Yeah, there's, what, 2 or 3,000 people that listen to this?
Yeah, maybe. Show? God, podcast? Don't remind me. Jesus. Now I'm crippled with anxiety.
You're in a city of at least 2 or 3,000 people right now.
I know, man. God, I hope this fucking recording works. I'm going to be so pissed if we have this conversation for 45 minutes and don't get anything out of it other than just... fellowship and camaraderie.
Oh man,
those are okay.
Should we answer some questions?
Yeah, we should. I'm gonna pop into the Radio Bugbear PMs. There are like a million questions in the queue, and not getting through them too quickly. Yeah, you guys didn't have anything else unrelated to questions that you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't know. Some friends of mine are coming into town today, so.
Are those the friends that run the game studio?
One of them just started a game studio with another friend from college. So, I don't know. He's going to show me the stuff he's been working on.
That's cool. They don't have anything out yet.
They might. I haven't talked to him about it in a couple months, so I didn't even know that he'd been making games for a while, but nothing major and. And I hadn't even heard that he'd started sort of doing it professionally. They've teamed up with some bigger company that actually has like distribution stuff going on or whatever. And he said they're working on multiple platforms and stuff. I don't know. I'll talk to him today. I'll give you a status report when I have some more information.
Speaking of multiple platforms, I watched The King of Kong yesterday, a documentary about the head of Donkey Kong playing.
Nice segue, sir.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I didn't realize it was so complicated. Like... I had played Donkey Kong, you know, I don't know, a dozen times maybe. I don't think I'd ever gotten to an elevator level. Didn't even know those existed. And didn't realize that it was so... There was so much control and sort of the... Maybe, no, I knew about the barrel control, I think, at the...
Oh, the barrels changing their behavior based on where you're standing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was interesting, like, the notion that, like, the springs that he's throwing in the elevator level... aren't all on the same trajectory. Like, I don't think I ever would have noticed that, and so I would have thought that it was just impossible to get past them, but it turns out they're on a slightly random trajectory, so you can tell which ones you should try and run past.
Yeah, God. Yeah, it was neat watching them do the crazy high-end thing, and the fact that the game just, like, abruptly ends at some point.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, you know, like Pac-Man, eventually you get to a board where the right half of the maze is just a bunch of garbage characters, so you just can't play.
Like, that's how Pac-Man ends. What prevents someone from, in Donkey Kong, just sort of sitting at the bottom and jumping over barrels infinitely to get a bunch of points? Does each level end?
I think there's a timer.
Oh, a timer. Okay.
And it also, you know what prevents people from doing that is the fact that when the barrels get to the bottom, they catch on fire and start crawling up. And I don't think there's any way to, I don't know that you
can avoid those.
Yeah, I don't know that those are avoidable. So maybe that's what they did instead of a timer.
Huh.
Let's see. Oh, no, another putt says, is there anything you wish to change in the game but don't because it would be too hard or disruptive to the way the game already is? Boy, everything?
there are a tremendous number of things that were we able to do them again.
Go back, implement them backwards in time.
Yeah.
A lot of things I would have done slightly differently, you know? I mean, the thing is, the game had very honest beginnings, right? Like, it was a bunch of jokes that you click and you'd see. How weird. Now I'm suddenly getting the feedback.
It comes in and out a little bit here and there. I think it depends on whether or not my microphone is picking up sound.
You're being
loud in my room. I can turn you down a little bit.
So the game started out, just click on something, read a joke, and all of the actual game systems were placed on top of it. You know, I don't know at what point I decided, all right, well, we can't just totally change the combat system, because I changed it several times, you know. But
early on.
it was all in the first, like, year or so, I guess. So.
I mean, people, there are news reports about us that still say that we consider ourselves in beta or whatever, and I would never correct those people, because I don't know how I feel. I don't know that I feel like we feel like we're done and just adding sort of content packs, you know. But we're not in beta enough to the point where you would actually just reset the game, you know.
Terrible says, on the skills you can get later area, can we get prices for those skills? Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I guess I'm not entirely sure.
So you know how much you can save up.
Yeah. Let's see. If I can get into my to-do list and paste the stuff in. Wow, it has gotten so dark that you guys can't see me on the webcam at all.
Anyway. I can see your glasses.
Yeah.
These glasses. It kind of looks like Elvis.
No, I mean, I got the sideburns and the white glasses.
That's nice.
Let's see. The radio to-do list. Pasting in there. Okay. Apocalypse Throb says, any idea who burned the most turns on April Fool's Day? I clocked 708, and I know I was a good 100 off. Yeah, I don't even know how many turns you'd be able to get.
The fact that there were, like, what, 2,400 people on at the peak?
Yeah.
And everyone was just going nuts probably prevented a lot of people from getting all the turns they could have gotten in.
We got to put some more RAM in the web servers, because we're not.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, we're not going to be able to handle Crimbo, because the web servers are what's weird...
I thought they had like 16 gigs of RAM or something.
No, I think it's only four gigs in each of them. No, the web servers were reasonably cheap. Like we definitely got the web servers optimized for price and speed rather than like reliability and.
But I mean, why wouldn't we just add more web servers instead of getting more RAM?
We're running out of space in the rack.
Eh.
And you know, more RAM isn't going to hurt anymore. I mean, also more RAM is going to cost a fraction of what the web servers cost.
I see.
The web servers weren't that expensive. I think they were like $3,500 each, maybe. But I mean, more RAM would be $100 each. So, it's not a big deal. And plus, now we can take the train to the data center.
You left town without installing the hard drives.
I know. Hey, you could do it.
I guess that's technically true.
It's technically and spiritually true.
I just would worry that I don't want to be the guy that brings the game down because, you know, he drops the game on the floor.
I mean, plugging two additional hard drives into WW7 is not going to take the game down no matter what happens. Yeah. It might be the case that what is being done actually requires drives to be pulled out. But it's really not a big deal. You could totally do it. You have to put in like four screws, right? And
you look like some sort of terrifying beetle person now.
I'm sorry. And
do you not have lights in that apartment of yours?
I don't know. I don't have time to be fucking with no lights.
Okay. All right. No, that's cool. Whatever.
Anyway, the listeners don't care.
I know.
It's such a novelty for us to be able to see each other during the radio show. I guess it's not. Derek Jr. says, are we missing something with the water polo equipment, or is it just not implemented yet? That is not as done as it will eventually be. So don't be alarmed if you don't get it.
Yeah.
Dryhad says, as you add more recipes, will you add more recipe trophies? I don't know. You know, it's kind of like as we add more familiars, are we going to add another tier of black hole trophy? I don't know.
I feel like you did that one specifically as an endpoint, but we just keep adding so many more.
I certainly didn't plan on adding new.
It's been a long time since the last one. We might actually be due for a new black hole trophy.
People would be time since you
kind of annoyed. Ascenders would probably be a little annoyed because, like, you know, there was a point when they were working for the other ones or whatever.
Right. Yeah,
and they have to.
Yeah, but it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't take. You know, what is it? Probably 20, 30 turns in the arena to really max out one familiar. I mean,
so to like give us the 20 pounds?
Yeah.
No, it takes more than that. I think. It's like what? 400 experience.
I guess it needs 400 experience, and you can only get 5. Yeah, so 20 to 80 turns.
80 turns
minimum. Yeah.
But there's also the plus familiar experience effect, so it might just be worth, you know, doing it while you're doing other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Hush says, how many tacos does it take to screw in a light bulb? Just 2, but I don't know how they got in there.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually give the answer to this riddle. No. Mr. Doob says, would it be possible to someday have a button added to the familiar management screen that could auto-equip all your familiars with their specific equipment from inventory? People have asked for that, but there are some questions about the behavior of that we were never exactly sure how to answer. So,
I mean, there's definitely... Like you would, I mean, how do I put this? There are some familiars that don't have specific equipment.
And that's relatively easy to have more than one. You can add that, though, right? Like,
And then there's a couple of familiars that don't that have different pieces of gear. I mean, we just put one out that has different.
Yeah, multiple pieces of gear.
Multiple pieces of gear specific to it.
Let's see. Chunky Feces remains one of my favorite player names. One of my familiars is in the most adventured with leaderboard, but he's only on it for an hour each day because I switched to my disembodied hand / time sword after I adventure for rollover. Could the leaderboard be adjusted to include familiars and terrariums? Yeah, it really ought to be, and I have marked that on the to-do list.
Okay.
Like friend, she says, is the next item of the month going to be a one-handed guitar with stat gain and monster level on it? Yes,
I saw that and laughed.
You called it. I like friends. I like friends high, not you like a friend. She. let's see. Mr. Kirby says, I have no other way to ask, and so I ask here, and I kind of expect it's been answered on the radio before. Expecting a no, but thank you, but do you take on any new development staff ever? I know you must get millions of bright young hopefuls, but I'm eager enough to ask. do we get millions of bright young hopefuls?
I wouldn't... That's at least 100 orders of magnitude too many.
yeah. We don't... It is unlikely that we will be hiring any more KOL development staff, period, unless we lose somebody, I think. You know, if we hire development staff, it will be for other projects. It's really not a code base that can sustain a bunch of programmers.
Yeah.
And we certainly don't need new people that don't have any technical skills, because we got ideas literally just spraying out of our asses. What are you? Are you just pointing it because?
Just this black screen that just this tiny highlight of light off of your glasses in the middle of it.
It's reflecting the computer screen, I guess. That's really funny.
Freak everybody out.
That's when you cry and apologize.
In, yeah. Hellbacqua says, I love the new update. Getting my aftercore-friendly softcore skills back makes me very happy. Yeah, I think a lot of people are fairly satisfied with that.
We're, We are working on doing the familiars.
Are we?
I mean, it's sort of a question, right? Like, come closer to the screen real quick.
Are you taking a picture of me in the
I was taking a picture, webcam, yeah,
for the Twitter?
Extremely meta, yeah.
Yeah. Well, post that and people will be excited to be. All right, so look at the Twitter while you're watching the show and you'll see what they're seeing. I'm not going to take
it. Oh, you know, and maybe I can do it. Maybe I can post it right when it happens.
Right when we're talking about it? Yeah, no, yeah, that's a good cool idea. Are you gonna listen to the radio show?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't tend to because I'm on them.
Yeah.
But you've gone back and listened to old shows, haven't you?
Yeah, I used to. I haven't done one in a long time.
There's all these things that we like say we're going to do that we forget about that. If you remember when you listened to the whole show.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. I for a while, I was listening to a bunch of them specifically so that I could do that, but it just got to where, you know, I'm already spending 4 hours a week doing the radio show. I don't want to spend 4 hours a week listening to the radio shows from the previous week. Yeah.
I have so much audio content to keep me sort of occupied during the week as it is.
So, yeah, I never would have listened to podcast stuff on a regular iPod. But having the iPhone such that, you know, I just have an iPod in my pocket all the time is... And
I remember you being extremely dubious about that as something that you would want and or use, right? Because you'd be like, when I want a phone, I want it to be my phone. I don't want to run out of battery and stuff like that. Right?
Sure, yeah. But I mean, I just kind of resigned myself to a phone that I have to charge every day.
Right.
That's fine. And I mean, the fact that it had has reasonable length that you can play music without just draining the phone, right? Which was not always the case.
True.
And it's a decent music player as opposed to like a shitty tacked on music player.
Yeah.
You know.
I've been pretty happy with my sort of external batteries that I got to sort of create my like solar powered iPhone thing, but like they will charge the phone several times so I can just be doing whatever, and as long as I've got one and the cord with me, I can be using my iPhone continuously for whatever. Which is really nice. Like GPS tracking when I'm running around.
All right.
Walking around.
Have you done a lot of geocaching?
I only did the one, but it was really good. It was a fun one.
Or geohashing, which is not that XKCD thing, but where you go to a specific set of latitude and longitude coordinates and get really high.
There was finally a Friday geohash that was like 3 or 4 miles from here. Like, so like there would have been, if people were still doing it, there would have been a gathering on that, like the Saturday, whatever, in like a park, like 3 or 4 miles from the office. And I was like, I should really go to that, but I just don't think people are doing it anymore. And I think the likelihood that you'll actually find someone who still checks out those spots weekly is...
Yeah, I mean, it was a funny idea.
You know? But people, for a couple of weeks at least, people actually met up, you know, across, like, in different continents, and, like, all over the world. There were, like, meetups of, like, you know, a dozen people here and a dozen people there, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is just cool.
No, you know, I'm sure lots of people got married because of it. Old Scratch writes, forum thread about why people aren't in the sea. Useful feedback for you guys as game designers or just frustrating? It's very much useful feedback.
I definitely feel like we take that to heart for stuff that we develop in the future. You know? And I think we're talking about doing the dolphin thing, which you know, I don't think is going to change anybody's opinions who's already seen it in its current state. But somebody who comes into the game...
Sure. I go back and forth on whether I think it's worth retrofitting, you know.
I feel like
the thing is the important part of it is being able to see the drops that you would have gotten.
Yes,
exactly. So, like, being able to
be angry at a game character instead of at the game itself.
Yeah,
I think is always valuable.
Yeah,
I think that's true, but you know, we'll see. It's just I could definitely see like this item is here, but it drops out of the way, and you can't swim over fast enough to reach it, right? Like
instead of actually having dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying we would not have to put the dolphin in there. We could the dolphin gives us a good way for people to actually go and get those items back.
Yeah,
yeah,
right,
and it's funny. Because I don't know. I'm really pleased with the idea of dolphins being assholes, because everyone loves dolphins. They're so friendly and charming, but just having dolphins that are douchebags, that just really pleases me.
My one question narratively is, what do we do with the whole Dolphin King crown?
How does that
figure in? Do we retrofit some narrative to that, or is that like
a joke
that they're playing on?
Maybe that's part of how you get down there. You're wearing the Dolphin King crown, and that's the only way that you manage to get.
And you know, in terms of the item drop thing, if we wanted to, we could have it such that it, like, you could only really retrieve the item that just was stolen. So you, like, or the items that were just stolen from the last combat.
Yeah, so what I had intended to do was make it so you could only get the one that was retrieved from the last combat. Like, give you some control over that, right? So if you saw something specific drop, then you'd be able to seek out a dolphin.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
But okay. not, yeah, because otherwise we'd have to create some entirely new, because like if we just kept the last thing that got stolen by a dolphin, that's just a flag, right? A flag with the item ID, and that's all we have to store. We already have those structures in place. If we were actually having to store like a queue of them, we'd have to write something that Zeno did a couple years ago. He added a table where you can store text flags for people. Uh-huh.
Instead of just numerical values.
So you could serialize an array and store it in a text block and use a structure that already existed in the game to do that, but you'd have to write code on the front end and the back end to parse it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of a hassle.
Except for the fact that you can't, if you only have just a single flag, there's not necessarily a last item if they like are responsible for you losing like three items from a combat or whatever.
Well, that was the thing. I would probably only allow one to show up. Like, the first drop... I don't exactly know how that would work, right? The first drop that you would have gotten, were it not... That's the other thing, is there's no easy way to tell whether you would have gotten the item if it hadn't been for the depth penalty, right? Like, I guess
sure there is.
Because you sort of know...
You can do the math.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess that's actually not difficult at all. I just had to say
But what becomes important in that case is the order in which the items are dropped.
Yeah.
Which I think that's consistent with the way that they're recorded.
Let me actually verify that. I'm almost sure that the fight script actually pulls data out of that table and then orders it randomly.
Oh, does it? Okay.
But then, I'm not. If it doesn't, it probably should.
Yeah.
Let's see. When you're pickpocketing, it definitely orders randomly. When your V-mask is stealing stuff, it orders it randomly. When you're stealing stuff from some other... Now, you know, I guess it is not for regular drops. They always do drop in the same order. That, though, that change might have implications that are further reaching than just this, so I'm going to think about that before I do it. I think in general it's a good idea to have them dealt with in a random order, because almost everything is done like that and just stops certain weird things from happening.
Right.
So we got about 5 minutes before we should
ship out.
Yep.
Are you going to just play music, or do you think you'll answer more questions?
I will probably answer some more questions.
Okay.
Because we're only going to have like 45 minutes of recorded stuff, and so there's going to be with the normal amount of music being played. Yeah, there's going to be an extra hour. So, you know, I'll bullshit for a while in the beginning of the show and whatever. This is going to be weird listening to this broadcast, because it's going
to
be
you're going to have to listen to the whole thing in weird order.
I'm going to be talking about it, and then later on, I'm going to be talking about earlier when I was talking about stuff.
Do we want to set a time for us to be able to do this in the future regularly, so that we actually have more recorded content?
Yeah, we really should. We really should probably, you know, maybe like we do one of these that's 45 minutes on like Tuesday, and then one on Thursday or something.
Sure. And we could also just do it on Thursday, so that there's more topical. Like it's all done that day.
Yeah.
So I don't care. Whatever you want to do, I'm happy to do. We could record 100 of them tomorrow. 145-minute long segments tomorrow, and then you could just use that for the rest of all time. The producer artist.
What I am gonna do. If you guys have some time, I am gonna see if it's okay with Lixia if I go on like 10 minutes late,
which will
both do a shorter show and we can have less time to fill and more stuff to fill it with.
Okay.
You answer a question while I do that.
Okay, Lilac says, there's some kind of weirdness involved with sending people combat items. They don't show up in the recipient's combat UI despite showing up in inventory. Only logging out and back in fixes it. Combat items are handled in a sort of a strange way because we wanted to reduce the sort of overhead that combat or that fights have on like the inventory table and stuff like that. So they're stored in your session. And I think there are still like one or two ways that you can acquire a new combat item and it won't refresh the list in your session. Logging out and back in completely refreshes it. And a couple other things, I don't think that's true.
I think that sending in that stuff is the only thing that does it anymore. We were kind of in the middle of, because basically what happens is that the game knows whether or not to... All right, the reason this happens, just technical explanation for everybody. There is... in the session, it stores the list of combat items that you have so that it doesn't have to hit the inventory table every round of combat. That was like a huge, huge performance tweak.
Boost.
And it was really, really helpful
So much of what the server is doing every day is processing like player fights and having it hit the inventory table every
round. And so much of what slows the database down is queries on the inventory table. So it was win-win. But basically, anything that changes your inventory has to trigger this thing that says, hey, refresh this list out of inventory, right, if I've given you a combat item. So every place in the game that you could get an item, that code had to be adjusted to make it trigger. The problem is, there is currently no structure in place to do that for someone else. You cannot set a variable in somebody else's session. Right. So when somebody sends you an item, that code is running logged in as them, right? You don't have to be there at all. And, you know, one way that we could deal with that is by making it so in order to get an item out of a K-mail, you actually have to open the K-mail and pull the item out, which is what almost every multiplayer game does.
Specifically, right. I think for similar issues, not necessarily the
Because I mean, what if you send somebody something and their inventory is full? You know, I mean, like in a game with limited inventory, that kind of thing. Yeah. But
there was another one recently where if you pulled it out of your store inventory or something like that, it would not show up or something like there were like
just a place that we had forgotten about that just didn't come up for a long, long time,
or it had but we couldn't figure out what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that part of the deal, we also made a change, CD Moyer made a performance change where every script was hitting the player table every time it ran to check to make sure that you had the correct session ID, right? Now, that is hitting a memory table on DB2, which balanced a load across the database servers a lot better. I think we can add something to that table that will allow somebody else to force a refresh of various things on you. And if we force like a flag refresh, then somebody sending you a combat item can just give you a flag. Trying to do that in the first place is what fucked up that thing. Basically, if you sent somebody an item, it tried to add a flag to another player's session.
And because
there was this really fucked up bug in the flag code that if you tried to call add flag or daily flag, actually, if you tried to call add daily flag on somebody else, it would replace all of their daily flags with your daily flags. So basically, it was this infinite meat bug. It rolled out with the divine items, right? So if somebody like went to the hippie store and got their 5,000 meat for the day, and then an account that had not done that sent them a combat item in a K-mail, they could go back to the hippie store and do it again.
Yeah, right. That was live for like a day or two, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. it was not really heavily exploited, and like it was a little tricky, you know. I mean,
yeah, they figured it out and were like reported it, and then were like messing with all the different things they could do because there was a bunch of stuff that people were
lucre gathering.
Yeah, a bunch of like extra lucre.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The thing from Uranus wrote, I think for the sake of fairness, if anything, you should compare Legends of Zork to really early KOL rather than current KOL.
That's a good point, actually.
That would be a good point if... Okay, so how long do you suppose they had been working on Legends of Zork when they announced it?
Maybe they hadn't. Maybe they announced it and then, like, last week before they launched it, they're like, shit, we need to make that game.
Yeah. So that is a question. So basically, let's say that they had been working on it for a couple of months before they announced it, and then they worked on it for a couple of months after the announcement, and then they launched it.
You compare it
to KOL 4 or 5 or 6 months in. Also, the Legends of Zork was not made by one guy, and KOL did not have the backing of Activision. Right, so I don't.
Plus, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we feel like is missing from it, it doesn't look like they've left gaps open for that stuff, and they're going to put it in later.
I mean, I don't know how long it was before KOL had interactive combat. That was something that for a long time was not there. Right, the fight script was exactly like it wasn't exactly like the Legends of Zork fight script, because it made sense to watch it, and it actually told you what was happening, as opposed to just saying, oh, by the way, I just rolled a 5 on a D100. Like, yeah, I don't know. You know, I see what you're saying, the thing from Uranus, but I'm still going to be all gung-ho on KOL compared to Legends of Zork. It is, you know, it points out, like, the dev blog, those guys are, like, so enthusiastic about it.
The people who are making it,
they made a post that was like, all right, well, we've been looking at our reviews, and you know, there's a couple that don't seem to like it, and they posted the link to the really awful Rock Paper Shotgun article.
Yeah,
and then there was like, and there were some that I feel like they didn't really understand it, and then they posted one to an equally bitter article, and then like they said, but there are some who really like it, and they posted links to 3 reviews, which all of which basically consisted of, yeah, Legends of Zork is out, I haven't played it yet.
Wow, that's kind of desperate.
Yeah.
No Hurt Me wrote, has there been any brainstorming towards Heartbreakers Hotel, or has that been backburnered for now? Heartbreakers Hotel is not a missing content vector. I need to make it obvious that there's not any plans at all to put anything there right now. It was there in case we needed it, and we didn't need it. So there are no plans to do anything with Heartbreakers Hotel. Yeah. You know, maybe I could just put a button in there that lets you rest and lose some hit points. Like, maybe just a way that you can exchange turns for taking some damage.
You know, it would be potentially interesting if you let people exchange HP for MP.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
You know, not... And maybe take a turn, but maybe like, you know, like double the
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, do we want to take Bad Moon and put in something that makes it just like decidedly unlike normal play in a fundamental sense like that? Like,
all the Bad Moon only advantage.
Well, sure. But those are, yeah, okay.
I mean, okay. I don't know.
Nardo Lupa says, Jick, you've been pretty ideologically set on a few things that have changed since C.D. Moyer came on board. Did you change your mind, or was the ideology based on, too hard, let's do other stuff, which with a talented lackey is now solved? I would never deign to refer to C.D. Moyer as a lackey. He's
talented.
He is someone who affords us the privilege of working with him. rather than somebody who works for us.
And, you know,
but you know, I have to admit that some stuff is probably not worth the time that it would have taken me because it was too hard.
Yeah, and I feel like there are definitely some things that we are backing off on in the hopes of sort of making the game sort of you know, more fun. You know?
Yeah, and the things, you know, C.D. Moyer also has some perspective that we don't have as, like, a really serious player, right? And he is also super nice. So the more we talk to him, the more likely we are to make the kind of changes that, like, you know, maybe some assholes in the forums have been wanting for a long time, but nobody who was really, like, sort of friendly and able to present really well-reasoned and non-insulting, you know, criticisms of the state of things. Like, I lost track of that sentence in my head, so I have no idea how to finish it as a complete sentence. Really bothers me. That doesn't happen to me all that often. Maybe I shouldn't have smoked all
Don't go berserk.
Maybe I shouldn't have smoked all that hash at those coordinates uptown earlier. I went and explored Central Park a little bit. I covered, I think, about an eighth of it in 2 hours.
Toilet paper.
Yeah. I was actually pooping on the first thing.
One sheet at a time, too. Yeah. You weren't, like, rolling it out.
Yeah. Well, because it's two-ply, you know, so there was, like, a lot my toilet paper budget could last a lot longer if I did it a sheet at a time.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, you played Simon and Garfunkel for the New York show?
Yeah, I played all songs about New York.
Oh, good.
For the first one, yeah. I don't have any songs about how, as you're walking along, a lot of time it smells like urine.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I slept on the sidewalk in New York?
No. Were you waiting for tickets for a Broadway musical?
Yes, I was, actually.
Oh, really? Maybe you did tell me about that. Maybe it's just one of the few times when your actual stories line up with my things that I make up to make you seem extra gay.
Yeah. No, we went to go get student rush tickets to Rent, and so we like drove down the night before the show and then like slept on the sidewalk in the line. Like, we were in the middle of the line by the time we got there, and I have never felt dirtier. Like, I've been like backpacking for a week without showering. I've never felt dirtier than I felt after sleeping for a night on this New York sidewalk. Like, literally any of my exposed skin was covered in this like weird, like, grime that was, I'm guessing, was like residual ash from cigarettes or something, and like just smog and stuff, and it just like a film covering my whole body that was kind of gray. Ugh. So gross. Like,
plus all the winos that came by and peed on you.
Yeah. Yeah, the only other sort of like environmentally just really feeling kind of gross thing was when I was in Delhi, India. Like, I had brought like a white shirt, and I had like left it out for a couple days, and then I like went to go put it on, and it was kind of gray because the air quality there, especially in 1998, was so bad that basically nothing stayed white in the air. It was, yeah, it was awful. So
yeah, it hasn't been too. I mean, I'm in a pretty nice neighborhood, so it's, you know, not.
So when you sleep on the sidewalk, it's not.
Yeah. No, it's definitely like I definitely, the further away I get from like the East Village, the more frequent the blasts of urine smell become. The subway stations are really kind of gross though. Like it is kind of amazing to me just the sort of scope of this city. Like, the just kind of density and the convolutions of geometry that are necessary in order to have all of the things that are here occupying such a small amount of space. Just, like, sort of imagining the number of levels beneath ground level.
Yeah, right? It goes, like, down, like, 6 stories or so, 8 stories, 10 stories, it's really deep.
Yeah. It's really it's kind of crazy, like, just, and the I guess because there's so much of it, it's expensive and hard to keep it well repaired. But like, I mean, coming out of London, especially like London, I feel like the tube stations were just really nice.
Yeah,
but we were in a nice part of town too, and we went into nice parts of town.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's true.
I don't know that there are a ton of lines that we never saw that I don't know that they're as well kept. There are tunnels. There are like miles and miles of like Amtrak tunnel, like train tunnels that were just abandoned for a long time, and people set up cities down there. Like the whole, like there's like mole people thing. There was like a really interesting documentary that I saw that was like going down there and like thousands of people living down there. And Amtrak like owned the property and like eventually tried to like kick them out and stuff like that. But people had been living down there for years and like just leaching electricity off. Like had these like extension cords just running for, you know, thousands of yards, and they'd get water and stuff. It was like they had built like kind of a little city under there in the tunnels. Yeah.
Well, we should probably stop this recording, and God damn, okay. I hope this worked.
Yeah, that sucks. So
yeah, because otherwise I'm going to be super pissed, and I'm going to be super pissed and have to talk on the radio for 2 hours by myself.
Just repeat everything that we've said using different voices for the three of us.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. Just repeat everything we've said using different voices for the three of us. All right.
Great.
Well, I will talk to you guys tomorrow, if not later tonight, and yeah. All right, And now I'm proud to present Jick coming back on the radio live.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks, Jick. That was awfully nice of you to give me such a great introduction there. I'm back, and yeah, that buzz is still there. Yeah, god damn it. That buzz is just another... yeah, maybe I do need to buy a new laptop. So I'm going to play some music because I haven't done that yet. And 15-20 minutes, then I'll come back and answer some more questions. And I'm pretty pleased with the way that whole recording thing turned out. I think that's what we're gonna do for the rest of the duration of my trip here. So I almost had music ready. You gotta cut me some slack. I only had like an hour to get this prepared. Okay, I'll see you guys in 15-20 minutes.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in this time to promised lands, to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for your name. Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
He rich. Is he rich like me? Has he taken us
anytime to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
He is. Is he rich like me? Has he taken?
Has he taken
any time?
Any time to show?
To show you what you need to live.
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
We'll be right back.
9 or 10, money can't buy you back the love that you had then.
Bill. give. Can you feel my heart in the palm of your hand? And do you understand why I can't stay? Abigail, an evil wind is blowing through the land, and they need every man to drive it away. When I come home, if I come home, you'll be a grown woman. When I come home, if I come home, don't be alone, Abigail Bell of Kilrona. Abigail, gonna be the beauty of County Galway, and she will live always in a world of love. Abigail, I'm off to the war, but you can be sure I will know you're what I'm fighting for. I'm off to the war, but you can be sure I will know you're what I'm fighting for. I'm off to the war, but you can be sure I will know you're what I'm fighting for. When I come home, if I come home, you'll be a grown woman. When I come home, if I come home, don't be alone, Abigail Bell of Kilrona.
Sink Manhattan right under the sea. I'll find the sweetest spot to watch as it goes away.
You were so happy with the things that you said. Like he's my lower half, you laugh, but you're gonna find. Sink Manhattan, I'll sacrifice friends. I think they'd understand my plan. I'll never be sure. I've got a message, so before I get through, I'll find your answering machine and I'll sink it first. Burn your forget-me-not and admit that true love can die. No, I won't apologize, my love, just kiss me.
And I'm back. And so is the buzz. So, I'm going to unplug the laptop for as long as I can get away with unplugging the laptop. Damn, this thing charges slow. You know, all signs are pointing to buy a new laptop, but I really like this laptop. anyway, so I got like 15, 20 minutes to kill. I'm gonna read some Radio Bugbear questions by myself. I don't like doing this, and the transcriber really doesn't like me doing this because I burn through questions and I talk so rapid fire that it's difficult for him to transcribe. So, you know, maybe I'll make an effort to talk slower. Noah Namk says, did the sword behind inappropriate prepositions always change fight text? Yeah. It has always done exactly what it does now, and has not been changed at all. There was another question about the sword later. But, Elfin says, yellow exclamation points is still broken. It's telling me to go to the council when they have nothing for me to do. If this is the case, Elfin, give me the set of circumstances that you're under when this happens. Like, tell me what's going on, like, where you are in the game, what quests you've done and stuff, and I'll try and figure out why that's happening, but I guess I could just log in as you. If it's consistently happening to you, tell me that, and then I will look at your flags and see what it is about it that's causing that to happen. if it was something that happened once, then let me know when it happened. Metal Ganon writes, no, changing a familiar would be a bad idea. We're talking about somebody suggested giving turtle tamers a skill that would let them swap familiars mid-combat, which is something that we had talked about in the past, but decided would be sort of too fiddly and maybe not necessarily like game-breaking, but it would be too serious of an advantage. Gleeb says, I would use the familiar switching to switch between a volleyball and a fairy whenever I found a monster I wanted to farm items from, like... getting the right scroll to drop from the right monster in the chasm. Yeah. Metal Ganon wrote also, why aren't there any Half-Life references in the game? Crowbar equals Pirate Freeman. Yeah, forget about Pirate Freeman. There are totally Half-Life references in the game. Lieutenant Freeman Rum is a direct Half-Life reference. Elfin says, also a good call on the Simon and Garfunkel. Simon and Garfunkel are two great tastes that taste great together. I'm a big fan. I remember, I think I was like 19, and I asked my dad for the multiple CD set. It was the collected works of Simon and Garfunkel for my birthday, and he was confused. He asked me if it was the same Simon and Garfunkel that he listened to when he was 19 years old. And I said, yes, but they're less contemporary now. I really like Simon and Garfunkel a lot. In fact, I'm going to listen to some Simon and Garfunkel after the show. In fact, maybe I'll go out on some Simon and Garfunkel. It'd be cool if I could go out with Simon and Garfunkel, get drunk, say, so what was it like in the 60s being Simon and Garfunkel? They'd probably just be sitting at opposite ends of the table, giving each other the evil eye. A lot of people talking about the dolphin thing. Old Scratch brings up, hey, a dolphin and rape link up. Dolphins are nature's overeager lovers, and there are reports of dolphins raping humans to death. Much rather be raped to death by a dolphin than, like, a swarm of scorpions. Because there's a big swarm of bees at my house that my wife is contending with. Clustered on a wall in the backyard. I don't know what that's all about. A lot of people... Shiverwarp says, the problem that I found with the sea was that there was a lack of a goal. It felt like I was just pissing away turns without actually working towards anything. I can definitely understand that feeling, given the relative unfinishedness of it. That said, when you were rescuing the sea monkeys, did you feel like you were just pissing away turns without actually working toward anything? Because if that's the case, then there's something seriously wrong with the notion of a quest in this game. Because I feel like during the period of time when you have a specific goal and are being kind of led by the nose through zones underwater to accomplish specific things, that is sort of the definition of a goal that the game gives you in KOL. So if it was at that point when you felt that, then, you know, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to produce this game in a way that's going to make you feel like there's a reason to do anything, you know. Or we just make so much stuff that you find something that you want to do, and then that's your long-term goal. let's see. Gleeb says, I really don't want to sound like a dick by saying this, and I do love listening to you guys just talk about stuff, but my favorite thing about the Thursday shows is listening to you talk about the future of the game and interact with the player base. Yeah, no, I know. Gleeb's likes things a little more question-heavy, a little less bullshitting about comic books, but, yeah. Yeah, you know. We go through phases. Dear Sire says, people actually listen to Diablo music? Well, people playing Diablo listen to Diablo music. I thought the music in town for Diablo was really good. I don't really remember anything about the music in the dungeon, but the town music is very memorable. Not Argent says, the floppy version of Star Control 2 had a bug where you could sell landers for as long as you could hold the button down. It was cool to start off with a full ship sometimes, albeit low tech. Yeah, it was one of those things where using that cheat didn't really give you an advantage that you couldn't get with a bunch of sort of tedious mineral farming, so I never really minded. And I think that bug was still there in the version that I had that was on CD-ROM. There might have been multiple CD-ROM versions, though. One of them was just a copy of the floppy version. Linguini Lad says, so why do the skills for Mean Sucker go away when you free King Ralph? Is it that game-breaking that it has to be done that way? Just wondering, that's all. Yeah, we don't want people hanging on to those skills in a context in which they want to play the game long-term and be able to farm and use all of their other perm skills. Because, you know, you're already, like, Superman with you know, a whole bunch of softcore perm skills. And adding those, you know, those were specifically a benefit to take the edge off of... I mean, they're like, give and take on all of those skills. But if you have all of them, you have a net gain, right? Of basically everything. And that is just, you know, Superman plus, and that's not what those skills are for. You know, that is what the skills that drop from Hodgman are for. You know, like, okay, here's some more passive item drop, because why the fuck not, right? You know, and why wouldn't you want that skill? But that's for doing something really hard, multiplayer, cooperative venture, and that's not really what Bad Moon is about. You know, except for the Brimstone, Bad Moon is not about outfitting yourself for play in other than a Bad Moon context. Drakefly has a suggestion that's pretty interesting, actually. He says, about chat commands, you could have all cap searches hit acronyms first and last otherwise. somebody was talking about basically trying to reference an item that was a bomb, and C.D. Moyer's logic for chat commands matched that with bottle of Monsieur Bubble before it matched the item that was a bomb in their inventory. So what Drakefly is suggesting is a capital B, capital O, capital M, capital B would match with the bottle of Monsieur Bubble first and the bomb last, and vice versa if you typed it in lowercase. The one thing that I think would be a problem with that is that if that behavior were to change, it would break a tremendous number of macros that are already out there in kind of unpredictable ways, which might fuck people over. And so that's another one of those things where we kind of got to be careful about the way that we change it. But anyway, I've made a note of that suggestion. And C.D. Moyer is probably listening to the radio, so it's not like I have to take something and write it down somewhere that he can see it. But still, that is nevertheless what I have done. Garrison Killer says, so with all the symmetry on the War Island, why is there the 15 damage discrepancy because the elemental damage bonus is given by the outfits and the weaknesses of the monsters? Not a big deal, I was just curious. We did that, we didn't really do it, it's just that's the way that the little five-way elemental star works, and we already had Hippies as Stench and Frat Boys as Sleaze, and there was no sense in changing that, not even that there was no sense in it, but we didn't want to change that. So we just kind of decided that we had to deal with it, right? We could have given the outfits bonuses such that it didn't make that big of a difference. But what we did, we just kind of took that into account. We were like, I don't remember which one it is. Whichever element is strong against the other one, the goal was to try and make playing as that side a little harder in general than playing as the other side, or at least take more turns to make up for the combat advantage. Aaron Fingers says, how about more gender-specific stuff, like a guy wearing the harem outfit gets minus moxie while a girl gets plus moxie? Yeah, that, certainly not averse to that kind of thing. The reason probably that we didn't do it with the harem outfit specifically is because the harem outfit went in before gender meant anything in KOL. There was a long time in the very early days of the game when you couldn't even specify a gender for your character, and I always said as soon as somebody asked for it that I would do it. I didn't say that out loud. First of all, there wasn't any way for me to say anything out loud to the player base, because I think that predated Radio KOL. But, I didn't tell anybody, but I just always sort of had it in my head that as soon as anybody asked for it, I would do it. And then for a long time, it didn't really matter. You could just change gender in the gender in your profile determined the gender of your character. And then I made it so that was no longer the case. Added gender selection on character creation. Actually, I guess that was there to begin with. And it was there. The gender was an attribute of the player, and you would select it when you created the character, but it would swap if you swapped it in your profile. But if somebody was already female in their profile, I think I made all characters default to male, and so it got goofy for those people. But yeah, then gender actually meant something, added in the sex change guy in Sleazy Back Alley, made it so you couldn't change it from the profile anymore, and the rest, as they say, is history. Amazing Grass says, why do some knob items come with a capital letter K and some with a lowercase K? Really, I'm kind of surprised that that's the case. I thought that, it's right now, the idea of going through all of the items and doing something is a very daunting task because there are nigh on 4,000 items in this game. What the hell happened to us, man? But at some point in the early days, I thought I went through and made the capitalization of everything consistent. Quietus says, reportedly there is no blended frozen swill with a fly in it. Fix, please. Okay. I will assign that task to Hot Stuff. Oh, what a quickness. Actually, I will just put it in the to-do list, and I will assign it to Hot Stuff. What a slowness at some point in the future. Then he says, do you have any plans to improve the message system? It'd be nice to have an inbox similar to an actual email client with a from, subject, and date where you can read one message at a time and see which messages you haven't read yet. Of course, the message system would also have to be updated to add a subject field, and all existing messages would have no subject, but that would eventually work itself out. Yeah, I mean, Kmail could definitely use some love. That interface is It's not the original KMail interface, but it's pretty close to the original KMail interface. Zaphodax says, Jake and Company, could we get a non-Mr. Store familiar that gives adventures for spleen items? No, but you can get all the gear in the game that gives adventures for spleen items when you pulverize it. Cyber34 says, so I was using the Akinator today, and I was trying to see if he could get me thinking of Jick. Akinator's this online version of 20 questions for guessing people. The thing's initial guess was Gabe Newell. 10 questions later, the last of which was whether you had a metallic limb or not, it guessed you correctly. I think that's an accomplishment. You know, I went to that website and tried to get it to guess me, and I couldn't get it. In three tries, I could not get it to guess me. It knew that I was in there. But yeah, you know, it was weird because it's like, it would get to the question, do you know this person personally? And I would be like, yes. You know. It's weird. I wonder who the person is who is identical to me except has a metallic limb. I'm really curious as to what occupies that particular spot in that thing's database. That's if anybody wants to play with this thing, it's Akinator, AKINATOR.com. Reginili also asks for an equip all button on the familiar page, which would equip all familiar specific items to their familiars. You know, I guess if it did it and only did it if there was no ambiguity and only if the familiar didn't have anything already equipped. I don't know. Not sure how useful it is. Ugh. MTNFS says, accordion buff lengths being based on what you're wielding before the best one you have in inventory. Obsolete leftover feature, perhaps? No, that really is a feature. We definitely did that on purpose. So basically, if you have an accordion that lets you cast 10 turn buffs in your inventory, but you're wielding an accordion that is limited to 5 turn buffs, it's going to give you 5 turns. I think that I would rather have... See, it was a little more important before. Initially, the... And this is something that I just do not understand. Initially, the Hobopolis accordion thief buffs were limited such that you could cast a certain number of turns of the buff per day. And I thought that that was just entirely reasonable and straightforward. But everyone else on Earth who looks at that says, well, what the fuck? Why would you... I don't understand what's going on. So, like, what ended up happening was that just... And basically because... I did not change this because it was confusing. I changed this because the original setup was so restrictive as to be not at all used by anyone ever. So I made it a number of casts. The whole thing I was trying to avoid by not making it a limited number of casts was the better accordion you have, the more turns of this buff that you can cast. That didn't make any sense to me. What made sense to me was that the one meaningful aspect of a buff in terms of limiting it as a commodity was the number of turns of it that you could cast. And I just had, you know, it's one of those things where there aren't a lot of cases where the way that I think about something is just totally alien to the way that almost everybody else thinking about it feels, and that was one of them, and it was, I just had so many frustrating arguments with Dev, where I was like, I do not understand what is confusing about an arrangement where you just get a limited number of turns. Anyway, when that was the case, it was important that you be able to, okay, I have 10 turns of this left, so I'm going to give 5 to this guy and 5 to this guy. If it didn't override the buff duration with the accordion that you were holding on to, it would be impossible to do that. So that's what that's about. Jump the Shark says, hey, longtime player, but I just wanted to say thanks for a great game. I was one of those people yelling that NS13 ruined the game, and so I stopped playing shortly after, but after a hiatus, I came back and realized how kick-ass this game truly is. Well, thank you, and I think that maybe what that means is that we finally, after this many years, repaired all of the damage that we did with NS13. And for that, I am sorry. I'm sure we haven't repaired all of it. I'll get messages about the things that still piss people off. Redundant Swami says, what's your favorite Resley Willis song? I like Suck My Dog's Dick. I've heard that about you, Redundant Swami. I gotta say Vampire Bat. It's my favorite Wesley Willis song. Zertek says, is it possible to let us rearrange the order of categories in the discoveries page? That would be a lot of work for very little benefit, so I'm going to say no unless, like, everyone wants that. And I don't believe that everyone wants that. I have gotten the check-in from my good pal Amplitude, and so what Simon and Garfunkel song should I go out on? Maybe I'll, let's say, let's the old standby of, The Boxer. Wow, that's 5 minutes long. Oh, well. Enjoy everybody, and I'll see you with Mr. Skullhead on Monday, and then we'll have, some delicious pre-recorded, bits in their own gravy for the next Thursday show, and, it'll be a grand old time for everyone. Good night, everybody.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, wet and scared. Laying low, seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Dial-a-line. Asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la. Shame, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.